In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you'll remember the sermons that I gave on modesty, I talked about how the virtue of studiosity was part of the virtue of modesty. And studiosity is the virtue in which we apply ourselves to come to knowledge of those things that are necessary according to our state in life. It is opposite to the vice of curiosity. And curiosity is the vice in which we seek useless and profane knowledge. That is, it's knowledge that's not beneficial to us either spiritually or according to our state in life. So, for example, if a man has to learn something for work in order to make a living, then he studies it, and that's part of the virtue of studiosity. Whereas curiosity is when we seek things, knowledge, and things that are not good for us spiritually or necessary according to our state in life. This is not to be confused with the general English term of curiosity, which is a general state in which we want to learn more about something, because the desire to learn is a good thing. It's actually part of the natural law. But it's a natural appetite, St. Thomas says, of the intellect. That is, our intellect has a natural desire to want to know things. And we get a certain pleasure out of knowing. And so it must be moderated, otherwise it can lead to our downfall. If you recall, the first sin ever committed was curiosity. It was committed by Eve. It was the first sin she committed. And so it's the thing that we have to keep in mind, that curiosity is the entry point, very often, to other sin. While curiosity itself is a vice because we fill our minds and memories with trash and stuff we don't need and things of that sort, that is not good for us. It can also lead to other kinds of sins because those thoughts can lead to other problems. One of them is called morbid curiosity. This is the characteristic of those who eagerly seek out the esoteric aspects of mystical phenomenon or have a fascination with the occult or the preternatural. In other words, this is people who have a fascination with things like witchcraft, Ouija boards, things like that. They're curious about, you know, does this work? How does it work? You know, what's this, these secret, what's the secrets behind crystals? Well, it's nothing. It's a piece of stone is all. But the point is that it's people seeking after these kinds of things. And because they think it's some type of secret, hidden knowledge. But it's also the esoteric aspects of mystical phenomena. You'll see people who are like, they'll read every apparition that comes along, whether it's approved or not. They'll spend all their time chasing after them and things of that sort. The problem is that curiosity, because it was the first sin, it is also becomes the sin by which demons are empowered. In other words, as soon as Eve gave in to the temptation of curiosity, she empowered Satan to continue tempting her with other things. If she at first would have recognized the curiosity, she had cut it off, she wouldn't have followed the rest of the path of the temptation. So exorcists have known for a very long time that curiosity actually empowers demons. In exorcisms, in fact, it can shut down the entire liberation process because of the curiosity merely of bystanders who are watching, which is why they normally should not be done in public. Normally, there can be a few times where there's an exception, such as in the life of a saint or something of that sort. In Scripture, we read, Adam knew his wife. Now, knowledge in the Old Testament and in Scripture in relationship to these matters, that is, in relationship to conjugal matters, was always that was always referred to as knowledge, because there's certain knowledge that a person gains of another person through that act that they do not have otherwise, because of the fact that the conjugal relations are rooted in sense knowledge. But the point is that curiosity is often driven in relationship to that form of knowledge as well. For example, pornography. Let's back up. I mentioned that just in any kind of knowledge, we get a certain sense pleasure. Or we get, it's not a sense pleasure, but we get a certain kind of pleasure, an intellectual pleasure. In pornography, it's added above that another kind of pleasure, obviously. And we see that in pornography, very often what drives men and women, but mostly men, to view pornography is a desire to see different and new women and things of that sort. To see or to view these things as a form of knowledge, and often this is a problem among the married when they want to try and see or try things new. That is, or when their spouse becomes boring and so they want to try other things that are new and things of that sort, that's very often rooted in a kind of a curiosity, an intellectual desire to know things. The violation of the sixth commandment by the unmarried is very often rooted in curiosity. What's it like? Is very often what goes through. They want to have this knowledge. Impure thoughts is often also rooted in curiosity, especially if a guy is intelligent, because it becomes more of a head thing than it actually does an appetite thing. Then, of course, the popes have never ceased in saying that heresy is rooted in the vice of curiosity. How is this the case? Well, people often read books and things of this sort in order to learn what they are unprepared for. And this is very often rooted in curiosity. Sometimes it will start out with, I want to find the answer to something, but they're not equipped to deal with what they're getting themselves into. In other words, there's a certain time in our intellectual lives when we have to realize this is a bit beyond my theological or philosophical expertise. I'm just simply going to have to trust the church and have faith in what the church says and not listen to this person who's obviously got problems or who is in error. And so very often people rush in to try and figure something out, to try and defend it when they're not properly prepared. And that's very often rooted in a kind of curiosity. Saint Vincentius are a classic example, because this is the area that they very often get drugged down in is an area that is very, very complicated theologically, and it also requires an extreme amount of knowledge and background and profound intellectual habits in order to sort out, which they do not have. So to pursue knowledge in that area is rooted in curiosity. Pius X tells us that modernism is ultimately rooted in an intellectual curiosity, because people would go around reading modern philosophers who are not rooted in reality, and as a result, these guys, their thinking would get cut off from reality, and they'd end up getting cut off from the source of revelation, which is the church. Now, what this tells us very often is that curiosity is more rooted in a desire to sate ourselves intellectually. I just want to know what's going on. I want to know this thing. Rather than in a real desire to know the truth. Because what's the truth very often? The truth is I don't have any business knowing any of this or pursuing this knowledge. Again, not that ignorance is a virtue, but that there's a certain kinds of knowledge which we are forbidden. Remember, the tree that Adam and Eve ate from was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which basically tells us that God was forbidding Adam and Eve to have certain kinds of knowledge in this life. And one of the kinds of knowledge is that we are forbidden to have experiential knowledge of sin. And that's what Adam and Eve pursued. Then there's also kind of a subtle kind of curiosity. This is the one in which you see this kind of in people. And this is when they want to debate or discuss something ad nauseum, and they're not really interested in arriving at the truth and coming and concluding something. They're just interested in arguing and talking. And why is that rooted? It's because they want to know whether they're smarter than the other person, or they want to know what will come out in the course of that. And that's rooted in appetite more than in a true desire to know the truth. Then, of course, there's the classic one, gossiping. There is absolutely no way that gossiping is not rooted in the vice of curiosity. People talk about various other people because they want to know, well, what's going on with that person? It's like, you don't need to know what's going on in most people's others' lives. It's totally irrelevant knowledge. In fact, what is it doing? It's dragging you down spiritually. Or they'll talk about their priest. What's Father doing? Where's he going? What's going on? What's this? Look, it's not affecting your valid confession, so don't worry about it. You don't need to know what the latest thing in his life is, or about the parishioners. Again, because Eve's sin was more principled curiosity, whereas Adam's sin was more conceding to his wife, there is a greater difficulty with curiosity among women than men, which is why, generally speaking, even though men can do their fair share of it too, curiosity drives more women to gossiping than men. Another way, place that you see is there's a whole industry now that's being built basically around curiosity. Of course, you see that. You can just walk through the counter at the grocery store, and there's all sorts of magazines that are purely based on curiosity. We don't need to know what's going on in some person's life, you know, some movie star's life. Quite frankly, who cares? Most of it's boring anyway. As I tell people, after you've heard confessions for a month, you've heard everything. So when you hear people saying, well, did you hear what so-and-so did? You're just like, I hear that all the time. I don't need to hear it from about them, and who cares? So, but then there's, of course, the problem of surfing the internet for hours. People will spend hours. In fact, they say that the average person now in this country that surfs the internet, I think, or watches TV, between the two of them or something to that extent, I can't remember the exact statistic, blows like 20 hours a week at this, 20 hours a week. And yet, if you ask these people, have you done any spiritual reading this week, 95% at least would say, I have done none. This is negligence. So the vice of curiosity gives rise to negligence in our spiritual life. It also gives rise to idleness. This is a huge problem among the retired, that they're spending hours and hours and hours sating their vice of curiosity by watching what's going on in Oprah than they are worrying about, you know, have I prayed enough today? Then, of course, curiosity can lead to despair. Why? Because when you find out all the garbage that's going on, I mean, all you got to do is watch TV for about 5 minutes and seeing what our politicians are doing, it's enough to depress anybody of any sound mind. But the fact of the matter is not that we should be ignorant of these things, because we should know what we should be praying for, and we have to be alert and vigilant, because quite frankly, I think they're taking our country to the woodshed. But the fact of the matter is that we have to moderate that, because the despair, especially when we also start thinking about things in the church, the curiosity, and that's another thing, they'll read book after book after book, trads will, or article after article after article about the state of the church, and just like, okay, but what have you done to learn more about how you could advance spiritually? It's a matter of priorities. Sometimes curiosity gives rise to pusillanimity. In other words, people are pursuing knowledge about stuff that's lowly, earthly, worldly, rather than things that are higher and more noble. So very often it leads to kind of a smallness of soul rather than a greatness of soul. So how do we overcome it? Well, shut the TV off and the internet off. Accept to what you need. Use it only as necessary. You need to seriously evaluate if you need the information that you're looking after for your spiritual life, for your intellectual virtue, or for the state of life that you're in. You have to focus intellectually on what you need to know and start acquiring that knowledge. That is, build up the opposite virtue, which is studiosity and diligence. Avoid people who engage in idle chatter. That doesn't mean you can avoid your wife, by the way. It just means that you just have, there's ways of always killing gossip. You compliment somebody. That usually kills most of it. You have to avoid gossiping. Just cut the conversation off and start heading in that direction. And seek the higher virtues which will attract you spiritually, intellectually, uplifting you, and that the knowledge that is necessary to pursue that. Don't let the curiosity kill you, basically, spiritually. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.